The Beauty Brands annual leader sale is here. Save up to 74% on fabulous salon brands like Biolage, Redken, Hemp's, and Paul Mitchell. Over 180 of your favorite shampoos and conditioners starting at just $13.99 each. Visit beautybrands.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon / evening, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. Just want to welcome you guys back to Your Battle to Win. If this is your first time listening in and tuning in with us, this is a show where we kind of talk about the different things in our everyday walk with God and diving deeper into things that we may be having questions about or wanting to learn more about certain areas that aren't commonly talked about when it comes to our relationship and walk with God. And so this week we're going to talk about good judgment and discerning. And I guess there is a, when it comes to the word judging, because I think that's a synonym with discernment, but I think judgment is more or less about the perception and analyzing of something. Usually my experience has a negative connotation to it. And so my mom is going to be kind of share this episode. She's going to be a little bit different. She's going to be sharing her thoughts, and I'm going to be learning this one from her, and it'll be an interesting discussion with a slightly different dynamic than usual. So, yeah, take it away.
All right. So what we usually talk about, too, I just wanted to add, is we're looking at ways that we can win our battle that we're here, and some people don't like to consider that our life a battle field or a battle, you know, there's a battle going on, but there is. I mean, we obviously have a lot of things warring. I mean, even that word, some people don't like, but for our time, vying for our time and for our energy and for the way that we think or what we offer or what we perceive and whether or not it's correct or not. And you know, even though we might not even notice sometimes that we're in battles, we are. We're a part of a battle where people are, you know, certain people want to influence us one way and other people want to influence us another way. And we're all part of that. And so we need to be able to, you know, take a look at what those things are that we go through. And we've talked about the kingdom of God and how important that is, the kingdom of heaven and the will of God. And that's what we have been talking about these last few weeks. And in order for us to comprehend how we're going to win battles in our lives or what we're even here for, we have to take a look at the idea of judging and that God uses good judgment. He is the righteous judge. He judges rightly. And we have a judicial system in America set up from the scriptures. You know, using them and looking at throughout history, they took, you know, how different cultures had their judicial type systems and what scripture was and what the Anglo-Saxons did. And, you know, just using scripture as the basis came up with our judicial system and with all its flaws we see now. But that's because I believe the battle lies within educating us as we grow up. We don't necessarily talk about having good judgment on purpose because it's a very critical thing, like discerning. That discernment might be one of the most important things we have because we can't discern truth. We can't judge whether something is right or wrong without those abilities. So we're going to take a look today at really why our ability to judge is so important. But there's different scriptures, and there's the one that says, do not judge lest you be judged. And so then we sometimes don't take a look at some of the other scriptures that talk about, you know, we'll judge angels, and if we can't judge the matters of this life now, you know, what are we thinking? So the small matters here, mm-hmm. you know, and Paul was talking to kind of shame them to say, hey, you know, you're willing to go before the courts of Rome and put things before them, and yet you're not able to judge this within, you know, the family, the body of Christ, the church. So So it's important that we learn what it means. So were you going to say something?
Yeah. Well, I think we started to get into it a little bit, but I think a good place to start would be what the direction / definition of judging we're using here, so for a better, stronger context.
Right. Okay. That's good. I'll read the scripture that is kind of the premise for today's talk. Is for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:17. So when we think of judgment, we can think of a lot of things. You know, maybe we can just take it to the idea of in a courtroom, a judgment is made based upon a lot of information, right, of one side to another. And that battle takes place in a courtroom between, you know, plaintiff and so the judgment's made, and facts, perceptions, opinions are all given, and so I would like us to look at the concept of judging as something that is supposed to be done with from a sound mind, sound judgment. We're supposed to, our mind judges all the time. And so one of the things, I'll go off on a little tangent just to paint a picture, but like for sports, we're always making judgments. When we drive, I mean, for people who aren't sports people, you know, when we drive, we're obviously making judgments all the time. We have to. And we have to be able to judge distance. We have to be able to judge how someone else is driving, whether or not we feel that we should be next to them if they're safe, whether to pass, how to pass, whether or not we can make it through a light if it turns yellow, you know, those kinds of judgments, whether it's safe to turn left, whether a whole lot of things, right? Whether we can stop at this distance, whether or not this is fast enough for this, you know, merging. So, and from the sports angle, like for baseball, you know, you have to judge a lot of things, right, that people that watch may or may not think about, you know, by, like, judging where, if you're on the bases, if you're base running, you know, most people think of their judgments being, like, pitching and hitting, right, or fielding. But even for base running, is important. Well, maybe you talk about it, since it's not just me. So how do you judge when you're playing baseball? How do you make judgments?
Well, when I played baseball, a lot of the judgments that was made during the plays were, we had to train them to become instinct. Like the decisions, we had to train ourselves to be so, like, well understood in whatever we were trying to do, that it was just instinct to react. The judgment and assessment was made before we stepped on the field. If that makes sense. So, for example, we already had we already knew how to handle pickles, and when we see different things, we handle them a certain way, and the judgment was made. The judgment and all of it, and the figuring out of how we executed was done during practice before the games even happened.
Okay, because there are rules or certain things that you could see as being consistent that you can make a judgment beforehand so that you're prepared to make the correct judgment in an instant.
Yeah.
Right? Whether how the ball is released from someone's hand, the pitcher's hand, or even a base things were all important. You're looking for specific nuances in position, right, that allows you to make a judgment.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay, so...
Yeah.
So the thing is that you're constantly, whether you've practiced for it or even haven't practiced for it, your brain is always calculating, and that calculation can be considered a judgment, right? You're judging the distance that you're making the flow in order to make it to the person in the right place. Judging the angle that it's coming out of the pitcher's hand to determine how long you're going to wait, you know, whether or not it could be a curveball, whether or not it's a fastball,
you know, immediately. You have to make a judgment then on how you're going to respond. And then your body has to make judgments, too, on how it's going to respond to it, just like a gymnast, right? The gymnast, too, has to judge. It just doesn't have as many moving components, right? He or she, they have to judge their own body movements and how much velocity they produce in order to land at the right place or to, you know, be in the right position to, you know, to make enough torque around a bar in order to make sure they're going to land right, correct? Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of judgments being made. Now, so when we talk about looking at what someone else is doing or what they're going to do or what their motives are or how well they adhere to what is right or good or true, those are similar types of calculations that your brain has to make. And the more that you have something to weigh it against or be prepared for, right, then the more accurate and more prepared you are for that assessment or judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the physical realm, we have the laws of physics and the laws of your own physiology and your mechanics, you know, things that are going on in the placement of where the tendon even is on the bone. I mean, these all are things that the brain has to make a calculation or a judgment in order to execute something. Well, we have the laws that God has given us on purpose, laws of morality and character and purity and what's right and wrong, what's harmful, what's evil or wicked, you know, the words that we don't necessarily like to use in our culture, right? It offends many, as well as the word judgment. So, but it's important because we have to be able to judge things rightly. A sound mind, that scripture that says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, or a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and sound judgment. You know, there are different ways to, you know, expound upon that. But to have a sound mind means that we have to make sound judgments, correct?
Yep.
Because what is the sound? What does your mind do? But then to judge.
Yeah, even the way it analyzes things, you know, is more making a judgment.
Correct. So even with your music, what do? When you're making a producing a song, you're making a judgment. Does that sound right together? Is that timing good? It's a judgment call. So someone who is able to do better is more accurate in their judgment than sports. You know, when driving, if they're in a courtroom, if they're doing something with friends, the ones who have better judgment are the ones who actually produce a better relationship, you know, whatever. It's more pleasant to watch if it's a gymnast, if they are better at judging, right, what they're doing. And then, right, the numbers that they're given, it's a judgment. Someone judges it one way and someone might judge it a little differently, but it's still someone's judgment of what they have, you know, what they have compared to what is better or what is worse. So does that help define how I see judgment?
Yeah. And I guess for me, the way I would define that is more of discernment. But I think maybe discernment is more or less based upon which is more of a situational type of way of judgment, like it's a subcategory maybe?
I think it's a process. I think discerning is necessary to judge. So it's kind of like when in a courtroom they are presenting information, facts, you know, testimonies, the jury, the judge, anybody there needs to discern what is being said as being either true or false, you know, how accurate it is. The more information outside of that, you know, some kind of expertise helps them to discern better. And then all that information that's put together creates a judgment. Just like when, you know, when the ball's released from the pitcher's hand, that's, you have to discern. You know, the more times that you've seen the ball released as a curveball or as a fastball helps, but individual pitcher is different than the other pitcher. So, you know, how much you got to see him beforehand, you know, what you know about him, those all help. So if you've gone up to bat against him before, right? Information that goes into your brain's judgment at that particular moment. Okay, do I wait on this one or do I swing at this one? How do I swing at this one? Am I going to this, that, you know? And you know, your body's always having to adjust. So, you know, in terms of one that makes a decision, it's still adjusting in its ability to judge so that it can make the best, have the best result. So I think, you know, what happens is there are a lot of scriptures that we have that are for our benefit so that we can make the right judgment. So God is going to judge us based upon, I think, a lot of different parameters. You know, obviously his scripture, but he is able to judge motives, right, of the heart. And he is able to see the whole picture of what's gone behind our own judgments, what we've done right or wrong, right? And he's able to properly judge us. In that process of him judging us, he's obviously judging us off our ability to judge, right? We have to be able to judge correctly. If we're not judging correctly, that's part of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that was not judged right. You did not judge that right. Or he's like, that was really a good judgment. You did these things according to, you know, your comprehension of what my word says. You have come into agreement with me. Your judgment is one that is like my judgment, is one with how I would judge that situation. So hitting the mark, the idea of, you know, we talked about hitting the mark in intercession, is that ability for us, the you know, the hitting the bullseye is our oneness of judgment with the Father, being able to judge his will. Like this, oh, this is your will. This is what I need to do. This is how we give counsel to somebody, because we can judge it correctly. This is what the Father says. Because Jesus said, the Father says he doesn't judge. And Jesus said that he judges only because it's not his judgment, but it's the will of the Father. And I believe that's exactly the example that he's given us for how we are to judge something. We don't judge anything of our own. We do it because it's what he heard from the Father. So it's the word of the Father. It's his will.
And is that also communicated to us through the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that where the
mindset?
The what?
No, go ahead.
What'd you say?
Yes. We're supposed to have our mindset on the Spirit is life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these are how we make, you know, the sound judgment. We're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the way that our minds are renewed are obviously more and more accurate judgments. So even when, this one, I'm still settling into the scripture when Paul says, you know, that he was given mercy because he acted ignorantly and with unbelief when he was killing Christians. His judgment was way off in terms of he judged the Christians as being off in following Jesus, and so he judged inaccurately. But he was given pardon. He was called then as a servant to serve in the same way because he had acted ignorantly and out of unbelief. I mean, these things just...
So what does that mean?
Well, it means to me that God gives a lot of mercy. There's a lot of things that we don't do right, that we don't judge correctly. And yet, in his good judgment, he makes a determination how he's going to respond to what we're doing. And I believe for his, it's all for his glory. It's for his name's sake. And then, so then he judges how we are doing things or judging things. And he responds to us based upon that. I mean, one of the things we were talking about, I guess you weren't part of it, just being Japanese, I know it was Harold, maybe I talked to you about it a little. He was saying, you know, he was kind of, I don't even know how he got on it, but he was kind of laughing because he was talking about how if anyone in his family and his kids shamed their name, that was the worst thing they could do. He was like, I mean, he was just using a an analogy. He was just saying, you know, we could steal something or even kill someone and it wouldn't matter. As long as, the only thing that matters is whether or not our name was shamed. You know, if we shame the family name. I mean, you know, what he's saying. He's just saying it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I go, you know what's interesting is because the Japanese culture has a lot of things that are really off base in a sense because there's so much, you know, rigidity in some of it. You know, this, like he said, if you shame the name, you would never be forgiven. I mean, basically, that was the unpardonable sin in Japan. And it is. I mean, I even having it being so far removed in terms of being in Japan, you know, in terms of when my great-grandparents were versus being fourth generation, it's like I still grew up understanding how horrendous it is to shame the name. Well, it helps us to understand what God's doing and the idea that, so I was saying to him, some say that Japanese are, could be part of one of the tribes because of the way that their temples are set up and how they would march around similar to having the Ark of the Covenant and the box shape and certain things. So I don't know if that came from, if that whole thing came from the idea that we're supposed to glorify God's name. Where I'm going with this is that everything is for his namesake, and whatever we do in word or deed, we're supposed to do for his glory. And his name is really important, and he is faithful to his word because of his own namesake. And so our judgments are important. Our ability to judge properly comes from our ability to understand God himself and his nature and what he wants for us and from us. And so it's not the same as the Japanese culture and the idea of his name, but at the same time, it made me really see clearly that we want to do everything to honor his name, and we want our judgments to be his judgments, which are not done out of arrogance, and they're not done out of condemnation. You know, they're not done out of, you know, of insecurity or thinking that, you know, we're better than somebody else. It's done out of what is correct, what is righteous and holy and sound, and it's not done in a spirit of condemnation, right, or arrogance ourselves. Otherwise, it's still just in the same boat as whatever we're judging. But our judgments are to be his judgments, which are that born out of mercy, that born out of humility and of grace, but out of absolute purity and the need for that purity. So it's that the ability to do what God wants us to do requires a lot of maturity. You know, a lot of us discerning and gathering information and making mistakes and judging poorly until we can get that correct judgment. But that's what I believe he judges. He judges the motive of our heart. And we too, as we learn to discern, we judge others' motives too with mercy and grace. We are looking for the opportunity. We are judging with the looking for the opportunity to extend mercy and grace. And I believe good judges in a courtroom do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the videos that have been going around Facebook recently. There's this particular judge that has a unique approach to the way that he judges. And one of them, I can't exactly break down what exactly happened because I don't remember it that well, but I remember the approach that he had. So
okay.
The,
Is that right?
But basically what happened was a mom went to court for a particular, I guess it was like a, it had some, I think it was a, like it was a particular ticket. And she also, when she went in, she didn't have knowledge that she had other tickets on her that were, that she was supposed to go to court for, but she never did. So, I'm trying to make sure I'm explaining it right without mixing up two, because there was two cases that he approached a little bit differently, but, anyway, so I'm going to just break it down the two different – so I'll just break down the two ways that he judged it instead of the actual situation because I can't put the two together. But for the first one, he went off of the actual understanding of the case, not only by the woman but by the court itself, and like, okay, you know, the court says that she has this stuff going after her and she owes this amount of money, but she never – received any warning about these other ones, but the reason why she's here is to take care of this one, and this is the fee of this one. And she was explaining what she needed to find it. So the way he broke that down was like, okay, I'm going to pardon the cases that she doesn't know about because, you know, those are such old cases, they're almost not relevant anymore, and this is the one that we're supposed to take care of. And the other case was not directly involving her daughter, but the lady's daughter was there. So this is two different. These are two different people he's judging, by the way. And so he actually brought the daughter up and talked to her about like the kid's perspective on how her mom should be treated for the offense. And it was pretty interesting because the kid had a really good perspective on things and gave a new perspective to the case. And then the judge did like a partial pardon and then handled the fine differently than a normal judge case would be presented the information without that perspective. And I think what's cool about what the judge was doing was he was also wanting to make sure he was picking something that was not only fair to the adults, but also in a way that the child could learn from the parent's mistake in a way. Because the child also knew of a way that would be, you know, I guess have a more innocent approach while still making sure that that justice was being served, quote unquote. So,
that was really neat.
It was just something I had thought about, but, you know, and everyone was like, wow, like he's really handling these cases really well. And they went viral on Facebook a couple times the past month, but yeah.
And then it serves as a lot of different types of examples to a lot of different people, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the context in which now, like we're speaking about it, has application in many different ways, right? I mean, I bring this up because
mm-hmm.
I believe that this is the way God wants us to be able to judge things, right? He wants us to be able to see things from his perspective. And so that's an increasing thing. We don't just walk in and be able to see things from his way. It's something that we have to learn to discern and judge, right? So, but he wants us to see how he's working on this earth. That his kingdom is come, right? His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven in increasing measure. There's the scriptures that talk about like the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who adds leaven to the bread and it leavens the entire loaf, right? So the
mm-hmm.
thing is that it's you know, all of those, I don't know for you, but for me, it was like, what does that mean? Like, that the grove's so big that the birds sit in it, you know? But now it's like, oh, it used to be small, and then it grew, and it's growing to the place. And, you know, and I always wonder, why the birds? Like, that kind of bothered me because I'm not sure if this is true. I mean, this application is the way it's supposed to be. But I remember learning in college, someone gave a talk on birds. Anytime you see birds in the scripture, it's like, it's evil. the birds represent the kingdom of darkness. So I was like, why is birds? You know, I don't understand that. And so I don't know if that's true. I just remember during that teaching, and I might have heard actually a couple people, I thought, during that time period actually teach the same thing. So I must have been going around or something. But if indeed that has to do with this, the idea that even though that the kingdom of heaven is growing so big that even the darkness will sit in it, and my prayer is that we'll benefit from it, we'll turn from that darkness to light. So the thing is we are our judgment is meant for us to learn how to judge correctly from the Word of God. It is learning the judgment of God and to become one with Him, one with Him in His intention of how He judges. So if judgment is to begin with us first, that means that He's judging us whether our judgment is correct, whether our judgment, if we are living righteously, if we're accurately judging ourselves, right? Are we judging ourselves at all? You know, I mean, really, are we taking a look at the things and saying, we shouldn't have to go to court to understand, I mean, you know, just the analogy, to have ourselves take a look at ourselves. We should be, I mean, I think most people do, be something that needs to improve. But we increasingly, as the body of Christ, must judge from the Word of God to know, and from the Holy Spirit, to know, you know, what the real judgment is, what the accurate judgment is, because we have to be able to judge ourselves if we're going to be able to judge angels. I don't know if we're judging them whether or not they're doing a good job, or, you know, how that all works. But, you know, those are things we're to ask. I believe that's part of what we're to ask, seek, and knock. You know, before, when we're in the worldly side of it, we're looking at ask, seek, and knock. Oh, well, we need to have new clothes, or we need to have a car, or we need to make sure we get to work, or we need to ask for these things. But I believe the things that we're really to ask is, I don't understand what your scripture means. Will you teach me? I mean, you know, he is talking about needs, because he definitely says if a son asks for a fish, you're going to give him a stone, right? So, I mean, definitely talking about the tangible things like that. Those are important. I'm not minimizing that, and so I don't want to make it sound like that. But I'm saying that on the other level where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things, the food and the clothing and all this, will be added to you. So when we're supposed to seek first His kingdom and seek His righteousness, then we need to be asking, seeking, and knocking for good judgment in what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is the kingdom. And what happens, a king judges, right? A king rules, and in ruling is making judgments, right? And the righteousness, the other words for righteousness is justice and impartiality. And so if we're righteous, we're going to be just, right? And the just live by faith. Mm-hmm. And all these things tie in together. Then that faith is in God Himself, right? And that is so important that we understand that the faith is in Him and the judgment is in Him, right? Everything we do is in Him. We get our breath and our being from Him, right? So I had another comment, and I just lost where I went, a different direction. Do you remember where I was going?
I'm not driving the car right now. I'm sitting shotgun.
Right.
I don't know where we're going.
Right. I know what it is. So that we need to be judging all the time, every moment of our every choice we make. As we mature, I mean, I believe that's where the maturity comes in, is that we begin to judge everything we do with the Word of God. Oh, that wasn't quite right. You know, get on the right track. And so I want to do a word study on that. You know, when he says we have all that trouble with the Lord's Prayer, whether how to translate it, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, those who are indebted to us. Forgive us our trespasses, right? So I looked that up a little while ago, what that word was, and And so the word trespass is different than the word sin. So when we're supposed to forgive those who trespass against us, it had more to do with like slip-ups, things that weren't intentional. Mm-hmm. It's not like the big, like we're living in sin, making big mistakes. I mean, that's what needs to happen, because it says in that scripture, right, that I read to start with, and if it begins at us, the judgment, right, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So the first judgment I believe we have to make is, are we obeying the good news of God? Are we obeying his good news? And if we don't know what that good news of God is, then that's where we need to start. People need to be able to judge what the good news of God is and pursue it, hunger and thirst after his righteousness for his name's sake, not for ours, not for self-righteousness, but for his name's sake. I mean, all of these things are the foundation of obeying the gospel of God. We have to know the word to obey the word. So the first judgment is, do we know the word, and are we obeying the word, obeying God? And then from there becomes that's the big judgment, right? And then the next one is are we correcting ourselves fast enough? Are we able to see quick enough? You know, are we trespassing or are we not? And so we need to get to places where, you know, in terms of the forgiving of trespasses, I'm really doing a lot of study right now on the whole concept of forgiveness, because I believe our power is in loving and forgiving. I mean, our power is in the whole word. But the two of those pillars are, you know, when we forgive people, you know, that he forgives people, and that there's a lot of importance and power in our forgiving in order for his kingdom come and his will to be done, right? Because that's why he includes that in his prayer, to forgive those. But I'm not sure in terms of trespass and how deep and all that I'm still working, praying through. So it is that idea that those are the things he wants us to ask, seek, and knock for. That discernment, that ability to accurately judge what he's saying. And then to accurately judge ourselves if we're doing what. And judging shouldn't be such a big, bad thing unless it's done in an evil manner, right? Unless it's arrogant.
It's all where it's rooted, because also here's another thing. If it's rooted in the Holy Spirit and in the grace of God, that's all right. But if it's rooted in bitterness and conniving and kingdom of darkness, that's where I think the judge, not lest you be judged context comes in, because, like, you know, you don't want to bring that perspective in your life, the negatives, you know, the negative lens, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, it also says later on in that same passage, it says, give and it will be given to you in good measure, you know, pressed down, shaken up. The one that was in scripture, in service today, right? So, you know, so I was sharing with your brothers the context for that, and that it was not necessarily, and I feel like it's so much more powerful than the context of just giving to people. It's the idea that, you know, we're supposed to love our enemies. That's everything that preceded it, how we're supposed to respond to those who hate us or treat us poorly. You know, we're supposed to still give, because then God gives us, and then all that generosity that God pours out on us, lest you be judged, right? So the idea is, it says judge not, right? So we're not supposed to judge, because we're going to be judged the same way. Because if we're judging out of arrogance, for instance, if it's the negative part, we're going to be judged for that arrogance. But if we're going to, he said, blessed are the merciful, right? Because they'll receive mercy. He wants us to give mercy. So if we're judging out of mercy, we're going to be judged out of mercy. And we're vessels of mercy. He said he created vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. And so this is a huge judgment that we need to make on ourselves, because this is, to me, you know, this was where the question lies. He made some to be vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. And I always thought, like, okay, he created some to receive mercy from him and some to receive wrath from him. But now I started thinking, I was like totally realizing, oh my goodness, when we are a vessel to give mercy, and then we are a vessel to receive mercy. And we are a vessel to receive mercy and to give mercy to whatever order. I mean, you know, some say things, all things originate from God, you know, so we are given first and then we give. But, you know, there's some other things that, that Scripture doesn't make clear. So I think when he doesn't make it clear, he wants us to ask, seek, and knock, and that he has reason for that not being, for it not being as clear as I guess we would want it. The brother uses the word encrypted. His kingdom is encrypted in Scripture for us to have to figure out, decrypt. So the vessels, the raft, are the ones who, that's why I don't think they receive wrath first to pour out wrath. I think that they actually behave in a manner in which they pour out wrath, and then they receive wrath. So, you know, when then that, there is that judgment. If one judges in wrath, then they become that at that time, right? I mean, that's another thing I've been asking him. I'm like, okay, you talk pretty absolute in Scripture, but, you know, sometimes we're acting out of mercy and sometimes we're acting out of wrath. So, you know, is it, you know, at what point?
Well, I think that we're supposed to act out of mercy, and God handles the wrath part.
No, we're only supposed to act out of mercy. You're right. But my point is sometimes it's not like it's an absolute. We're not always acting under, we're not always doing it God's way, right? That's my point, is that we don't always act. So, you know, when he said, that's the whole reason we need Jesus. I mean, that was the whole point, that, like, we couldn't keep the 613 commandments, right? If we feel that we have to keep one, we have to keep them all, is what he said, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, we operate in a mercy most of the time and wrath some of the time. At what point, you know, was 50% operated under mercy and 50% under wrath? You know, which are we? I mean, so the thing is that's up to him. He's the judge, right? But our judgment on ourselves is we need to judge. Are we acting under mercy or under wrath? Are we, for instance, are we operating as a vessel of mercy, or are we not? I mean, we might not be even thinking we're being wrathful, but are we being merciful? I mean, the discussion happened because, in my mind with God, because I was walking with him, and I was in a neighborhood, it's a nice neighborhood. And it's not, that particular part of it is not a agricultural neighborhood. Maybe a block or two over are some big ranch homes, you know, here in Arizona, right? Those nice, the ones that are farm property. So in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this subdivision. So it's all, you know, all formal subdivision. And I'm hearing this, you know, I don't even know if I heard it on the way one way. I was on my way back. I hear this, bah! I'm like, what? And I'm still like my brain didn't even register it. Like it could not connect to this because it was so foreign. And so this goat, I'm imagining, I'm not sure if it was a sheep. It sounded more like a goat. I never thought of it being a sheep until later. So I'm thinking it must have been the recognition was a goat, but it was baaing. Like, and the more I walked near it, it doubled it, right? It was making more... you know, like he was trying to get someone's attention, maybe mine. So I was like, okay, what's going on here? Then I was thinking about, like, oh my goodness, I want to be able to, if this goat needs water or if this goat is distressed, I don't want somebody to report the family, take the goat away, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I was concerned. And so I was thinking about the whole concept of extending mercy. And that's what I started thinking about, is like people that would report them or say they're being negligent or something bad happened to the goat. I would feel so badly, and I'm sure that the family would too, if the goat needed water. The wall was too high. I went and knocked at the door 3 times and no one came. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't really want to wake them, but I did knock. I did want them to hear me, but it didn't look like anyone was home, so I was concerned, right? Enough to go back later, but the goat was not making any noise, or they took care of it, or they were just holding it maybe for someone for a little while. I'm not sure what happened, right? But the idea is that we're in a society that some people, we're trained a lot more. Like in the country, right, no one would think anything of it. Someone would go help. Like, oh, no, the goat must be stuck or, you know, something, and they would go knock on the door, and that nobody would care if you probably, you know, if they knew, you know, I guess it depends. If people know each other. So they'd jump over the fence and go help the goat, right, if they really felt it was in distress. There would be no problem looking or making some kind of concern. But in where we are here, it's not that way. If someone goes and helps, you could be, you know, someone might think you're a thief, someone might, you know, whatever could happen, right? And then the goats, a neighbor might report them, say the goat shouldn't be there, or, you know, if the goat, something happened to the goat, because it sounded a little distressed, terribly distressed, but distressed. If something did happen to the goat, then what would happen to the people? I mean, all of this was going through my mind in terms of how much we have to come back as a culture to being merciful or compassionate if something does happen that's wrong or bad, instead of this judgment of wrath, right? Oh, you're such, you know, such a poor animal owner or whatever it is, right? The wrathful judgment versus the merciful judgment, the ability to come alongside someone, or the, like you were saying, the judge to be able to look at the person's heart and say, this, you know, the purpose of these rules or laws or things are for mercy, for creating peace and order and goodness and reinforcing those good things. The reason for the laws, reinforcing those good things, not to incur wrath, but to make a good judgment, right? To help people better judge things. Anyways, I just feel like this is a big important part. If this judgment begins at our household as the children of God, then it's really important that we really seek and knock from Him to have the best sound judgment as possible. So that's kind of, I mean, I have a bunch of scriptures because I've been writing on this also, and it's really amazingly life-changing perspective to read through the scriptures from the aspect of wanting to be able to judge properly and to have God's mercy on us when He does judge us, because He says He will judge us, and we want Him to judge us with mercy, not with wrath. And we should want that for everyone. We should want for everyone to be judged with mercy. And so there must be something that's necessary from us in terms of blessed are those who are merciful, because they'll receive mercy. We need to take seriously His scriptures and not feel like we have nothing we can do to take that kind of charge that He wants us to. In terms of us winning our battles,
moms be hitting everything on their head right now.
Well, I've been praying for sound judgment, and I know I need a lot more, but that's what we need to pray for each other. This is an important thing for us to pray for each other, for those who aren't compassionate, for those, you know, who don't feel empowered. You know, we have to really pray for one another to comprehend the fullness of what the good judgment that we're supposed to have is for, and what will it do, what it will do. So
does that conclude our thoughts right now? Because I've learned a lot.
Well, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Sound judgment. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment, sound mind.
Yeah. And that's my prayer, too, to continue to receive that sound mind and judgment. I mean, that's what even what King, I mean, that was the reason for King Solomon's desire to know wisdom, too, is so he can judge the people well.
That's right. Right, and he starts off that way, too. That's the purpose of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of it is judgment, justice, discernment.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
So.
And so when we were talking, just real quickly, when we were talking a few weeks back about Heaven's Court and coming before Him as righteous judge. Yeah, I believe that, you know, my growth since then, I can see a lot more that not just coming before Him as righteous judge, but coming that all that we come to Him with is with that understanding of a good, solid judgment already. The cases we present before Him are cases we worked out because we understand from sound judgment what needs to take place. Not only what we have done that has been maybe of poor judgment turned to be good judgment, but all of His word that supports it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we come back to everything is about knowing His word, because that's how we honor and glorify Him, is coming into agreement with Him and having the same judgment that He has.
You cut out. Hello?
Oh, did I cut out? Does that mean people couldn't hear me? Or just you?
Yeah. Well, it could just be me.
All right. Well, we'll pick up. Well, maybe we'll review this if it cut out. We'll review it next week and then go into the next part.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Well, everyone have a great night.
Yes, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stay 4th of July. Blow stuff up, but don't blow yourself up or any of your friends or family or neighbors or dogs or whatever.
Use good judgment. You know what? Can I make an excuse?
Yes.
Because I really wasn't thinking about it being 4th of July again. I wish I should have been. In terms of our program, I should have tied some of it in. Really, Our the Declaration of Independence, and it should definitely be read for 4th of July. Our Declaration of Independence was one of good judgment. So the way that it was written out was also presented as a case, and definitely was in submission to God. It was definitely being stated to England. For what it was doing, it was a judgment. You know, these are the things you guys are doing against us. So the thing is we are celebrating a few people's strong desire to judge things correctly from God's point of view. That's what we're celebrating right now. And so that needs to be honored, and I believe it's time again for us as an entire culture of people to determine that we are also going to have sound judgment and restore God's ways and make them even higher than they've ever been implemented before. Because we have a good base. I mean, what they've given us and what we've built on, and what the Holy Spirit has done in us, as we have moved forward, and yet we have an opportunity because the enemy has moved forward too to use our sound judgment and bring more real freedom, the truth that sets us free in good judgment here back on in America. And not only for our sakes, but for the sake of the other countries too. We definitely need sound judgment here. So everyone enjoy this celebration and be sober-minded for the purpose of prayer for good judgment.
Mm-hmm. And tune in next week to hear more.
Yes.
So.
All right. Happy Independence.
Happy Independence
happy
Day.
Happy dependence on Jesus.
Safe
Day.
Days. Amen.
Yep.
And we'll
yep.
see you. We'll see everybody next week. All righty. I'll talk to you later,
right.
too, Mom.
All right. Ready. Everyone,
bye.
Good night.
The Beauty Brands annual Leader Sale is here. Save up to 74% on fabulous salon brands like Biolage, Redken, Hemp's, and Paul Mitchell. Over 180 of your favorite shampoos and conditioners starting at just $13.99 each. Visit beautybrands.com. Good news, great news, amazing news. The Beauty Brands annual Leader Sale is here. Protect that gorgeous do of yours with professional salon products. Save up to 74% on over 180 top brands like Biolage, Redken, Hemp's, Paul Mitchell, and more. Pamper your mane and pamper it good. I'm excited. You're excited. We're all excited. It's Leader Sale.
Beauty Brands annual Leader Sale. All your favorite salon professional shampoos and conditioners starting at just $13.99. Get to your nearest store or visit beautybrands.com.